There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Hey, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Thursday. And this hour, like all the other hours and all the years in the past, phone number and the text line are the same. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. Also with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always drop us a talkback message and I can play it back here on the air. All right. Without further ado, it's you know him, you love him. It's our man, Kyle Hamrick, with Lanyap at lanyapmobile.com, and a guy that I do and you can vote for in the nappies.
That's right. That's right. And you can also vote for Sean Sullivan, too. That's a good ticket, Sullivan.
Yes.
And Hamrick.
I think it is. So, yeah, for 2026, Sullivan, Hamrick, go ahead and make your votes. How long – nappies are going – usually they're at the end, of the month, or where are we on that?
We are wrapping it up on Sunday. The end of the day on Sunday, May 31st, will be the end of this nappies season. We've had, crazy voting in these things.
It's like AAA always says, it's the biggest whatever travel holiday ever. I mean, y'all always say, or is it that big?
All I'm saying is my records request to the Lanyap Secretary of State just came back, and we are seriously probably going to set a record for voter turnout here. It is unbelievable stuff. But, you know, we got a lot of good folks to vote for. We got me, we got you, got all kinds of great things.
So that's all y'all need to know.
Understandable.
So turnout, what you're saying is, that y'all, we're inching our way slowly like a snail towards a segue here. You're saying, Kyle, that turnout for the nappies voting has been robust and big. It's
absolutely
been last week, and we're going to talk about the subtleties in this, one of your stories over at lanyapmobile.com, but turnout was, people with anemia would say it's anemic, the turnout we had. But within that,
right,
the bigger story is, and you write about this one, it's been discussed some on the show this week, the Democrats turned out in bigger numbers than Republicans for Mobile County.
That's right. That's right. For the first time in a long time, we saw where the Democratic votes in the primary in Mobile County outnumbered the Republican votes. I believe there was about 34,000 votes cast with Democratic ballots last Tuesday, while there were only 32,000 cast for Republican ballots. Now, what does that mean? There were a number of races on the Democratic side that had multiple candidates in it that were not going to have, like, a challenger in the general. Like, you know, there was the state house seat for Adeline Clark. There was just two Democrats in that. There's no Republican in the general. For Sam Jones, there was a state house race there. There were multiple people who ran against him. But we saw a large number of Democratic turnout. And I asked, Thomas Shaw at South, a political science guy, kind of what that could be. We had a higher number here in Mobile County for Democrats, but in the state, the Republicans still took the lead, but there were more Democrat ballots than in the past. He said that's because of some Trump frustration, that some voters are upset with how the economy is going. They're upset about the ongoing conflict in the Middle East, and they wanted to make some change. So that's kind of what drove the voters to the primary, was, you know, some frustration with kind of how things are going in the second Trump term.
Yeah, you can definitely see that frustration voting beats satisfied voting in the American system long term, right?
Yes.
I mean, that is
absolutely.
Just, I mean, we Americans don't turn out at the numbers to say we like what's going on like they turn out right. to say, to heck with this.
Right, right. And normally, and I still view this, the primaries are for people who are really in tune to what's going on. Like, they're reading mm-hmm. the Lanyap, they're listening to FM Talk, they're going out to vote, they know what's going on. And most times, you know, folks still don't come out to the primaries because they're just not as apprised of the issues. But, you know, we're definitely seeing, you know, we definitely saw some people who are frustrated with how things are going now, stepping up to kind of, you know, direct who's going to be on the ballot in the general.
Yeah, and these numbers, it is interesting. And I wonder, you know, does this, I guess if they're going to come out for the primary, then they're going to come out probably big on the general, even though it's not, you know, is a big a deal because, like you said, so many,
right.
we have such gerrymandered districts that often for both parties, the primary is the general. But it is interesting to watch right. that turnout there. Anything that you're talking to the professor there on this says anything about the what they think is going to happen with the redrawn, not drawn, redistricted districting things for the, what, AL 1, 2, 6, and 7?
Yeah. Well, the magic eight ball might have the answers that we're looking for on the congressional maps here, because it is kind of hard to keep up with what's going on there. Where we're at now, we are back at the Supreme Court. It seems like we've got a game of legal Uno going on here. The federal court in Birmingham earlier this week said that every map was unconstitutional when we first put the injunction down, and it still is now in light of the Calais case. And the I'm getting all choked up there just thinking about
that redistricting. It does it to all of us.
Yeah, just thinking about the redistricting. So the federal court in Birmingham said that the 2023 map is still bad, even in light of the Calais case. And the state laid down their Uno reverse card and said, we're going to go back to the Supreme Court, and we're going to make the Supreme Court say which map we will use for the August special primary for the congressional districts 1 and 2. So that's where we are right now. The Supreme Court still has to make their decision in that case. But what we saw this morning, yesterday afternoon, was the Department of Justice came out and said, you know, we are going to support the state in this fight. The federal court was wrong to, you know, put a new injunction on the 2023 map, and we think that the Supreme Court should put the 2023 map in place and get rid of the court-ordered plan that we've had since 2023. So I'm kind of thinking that we might find some way to get the 2023 map back, but if it were to just keep going back and forth, like if the Supreme Court said that it's going to go back down to the federal court in Birmingham once again, we would just get caught in a loop there, and nothing would really come from that. So I'm thinking the Supreme Court's going to make a hard ruling here in this case and set up the map that will be used this fall.
Interesting one here as well. The lawsuit filed to stop the PSC change, something you and I have talked about. I've talked about a lot on this show. But this is, I don't know if this stands a snowball's chance or not, but it's, you said, a candidate running for Alabama Public Service Commissioner filed a federal lawsuit to stop the regulatory board from gaining four extra commissioners and a Secretary of Energy, yeah, arguing the change is unconstitutional and discriminatory. Do tell.
Yeah, it's funny here because this lawsuit, you know, seems to have kind of the same themes in it that the redistricting stuff does. Sheila McNeil, who is running as a Democrat for place two on the PSC, you know, which, you know, has a role in how much we pay for our power bills here, she filed a lawsuit claiming, you know, that we need to stop this change to the PSC, stop putting on new board members here, because all of this was going on while absentee voting was underway. And moving toward a districted PSC would dilute the votes of black people in this state. That's her claim. It'll be, you know, something to watch where this goes. But it's, you know, folks are upset about their power bills, and folks are not pleased with the way that the whole PSC reform went down, and you know, this is just another example of that frustration there.
And then I'd say the biggest talker, I don't know, but out of the stories, you've done some important stories, but I don't think anything could be more important to our fair city than the city of Mobile cracking down on scooters. Kyle, the scooters,
praise the Lord.
The scooters out of control. What's happening with the scooters? What's the council? What'd they talk about?
Well, and they didn't vote on it this time. They're going to vote on it next week, but they are going to keep the rentable Lime scooters, you know, that we see downtown and all over our fair city. They are going to keep them, you know, which I'm not too big a fan of. I'm not a fan of these things. But they are going to put some harsher rules in place, keep these scooters in line. They're going to cut the speed limit down to 8 miles an hour max. They are going to, you know, really in.
What are they now? I mean, 8 miles an hour, that's enough to stay up and not tump over. I don't know how fast
right,
you have to get.
Okay. Right. Well, I mean, these things were zipping by during Mardi Gras. I mean, they get some speed on them, and you know, folks are upset because you know these scooters get left on the sidewalk.
They do. They just get slung kind of everywhere, like when people are finished with them. Yep.
Right, and you know, folks have been ran over by these things on the sidewalk because they drive them on the sidewalk. There's been some fatigue and some frustration with the scooters here. I have felt it. But these new rules that we're going to get put in place, they're going to lower the speed limit down to 8 miles an hour. They are going to have a daily roundup of these things back to like a central storage space for them. And they're going to really enforce the 18-year-old age requirement on this thing. Something else too. They're going to have a little message that flashes when you log in that says you're not supposed to drive one of these while drunk.
Well, that's going to cut business in half.
You have a few drinks and then you want to go scoot around town, but now you can't do that because this message will stop you from doing that. This little flash will stop you from making that.
Well, is somebody, would they be, I guess they're driving something. It'd be a, right? I mean, you'd be driving under the influence. I guess you're driving the thing.
Scooting
under the influence.
An SUI of scooting under the influence. I mean, I don't think a charge has been created yet, but if the shenanigans on these things keep up, we may very well get some new language in our legal system for scooter crimes. But hopefully this will kind of curb things downtown because these scooter folks, they kind of form into these Mad Max gangs, and they'll ride down the streets of downtown, flying in and out of traffic. Hopefully this will curb some of the bad behavior.
Right. Yeah, and you pointed out, you said about, let's get specific. You write here, under the new agreement, okay, Lime will require new riders to pass an in-app quiz, not just say you can't drive under the influence. You have to pass a quiz about safety and local regulations before they can fire up their scooter. I wonder how many chances they get. Like, go, okay, got come try again. You know, you got 8 out of 10, or, you know, you got 5 out of 10.
Yeah.
So these people are going to have to take a quiz before the thing gets to moving.
That's right. And, of course, you got to download the app, so you got to, you know, go through all of that on top of passing this quiz. I think the quiz in itself could be a deterrent, especially if you haven't studied. So that's going to be a problem for some of these scooter fiends that we have seen.
All right. People want to read these stories a whole lot more. They need to get signed up. Talk about that process, that quiz.
Yes. Well, there is no quiz to sign up for a Lanyap subscription. Head to lanyapmobile.com and find the one that works best for you. And don't forget to vote in the nappies. The voting is going to close this Sunday. So head to votenappies.com and pick your favorite people, places, and things. Those districts are still in place. There's no court case there. So just keep voting.
Good stuff. And make sure to vote for that Sullivan-Hamrick ticket. We're going to win.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Talk to you next week.
Talk to you later.
There goes Callum. We're coming right back. 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right at 126, FM Talk 106.5, and to the text line we go, 251-343-0106. And, okay, we'll get obviously a robust study or discussion here going on about the viral video. The woman gets pulled over, and the officer says, "You had your phone in your right hand," and she didn't have a right hand. Yeah, and not that I don't appreciate y'all's, but I'm still looking for Squirrel Vereen to explain how he thought that she was being disrespectful, that she was an idiot. I support law enforcement, man, but not in that one. Not in that one. B-Dark says, yeah, it sounds like Mr. Policeman is a Little Miss Can't Be Wrong. Man, remember that song? Oh, Spin Doctors? Spin Doctors. Hadn't played those as a current. That's how long I've been doing this, back when I was in music radio for first half of my life. Joe had sent me that article, and I know we had, maybe Jeff, I don't think we were on the air maybe when we talked about this, that Clarence Thomas, Justice Thomas, from Fox News story, says Justice Clarence Thomas declined to immediately hand Alabama Republicans a win on Wednesday, but ordered their voting rights challengers to quickly defend the court-drawn congressional map that helped the Democrats flip the deep red state House seat. Alabama's Republican Attorney General requested emergency relief. Okay, we know that. Then on Wednesday, Thomas, who's assigned to the 11th Circuit, declined to immediately restore the 2023 congressional map, but also ordered the case's voting rights plaintiffs to provide an explanation by Monday, so that's June 1st, on why that legislature-drawn map should not be used. Yeah, so I mean, he has said, but I think this could all gotten started if the three-judge panel, just got a feeling that Friday they made their decision. They should have released that, and people say, "Whoa, it's a Friday." It's not for the media, but if they'd have released their decision, that all the other mechanisms could have started working during the holiday weekend, and we wouldn't have lost the 3 days. So that's the. But I appreciate you sending that to me. Let's see, Michael. I would agree that the 2023 map is still unconstitutional because it was drawn with racial considerations, just like the. Stupid Anna Manasco's 5-2 is unconstitutional. They're both garbage, and Alabama legislature needs to grow up and set and draw a race-blind 7-0 partisan map. So I wonder if they go back to an even more special session and do that. I don't think so. I think he'll stay 6-1. C.B. Carl said, Sean, I heard you say a number of veterans. I heard you say a number of veterans in Alabama and said that you were sure all of them didn't vote. Do you mean like I'm sure that when I said all of them didn't vote, meaning not all 400,000 voted, not that all of them didn't vote. He says, I'll make an illegal book that there were a lot more veterans voting than civilians. Oh, 100% agree. I agree with that. I'm just saying I think 400,000, I can't say all 400,000 voted, but was it enough to make a difference on some of these people that supported SB 67? Well, that's going to be the discussion with Admiral Davis tomorrow right here on the show. But, also, happy National Hamburger Day. I won't be grilling burgers because I'm busy making spicy dill pickles. And you do a good job of that, too, C.B. Carl. Keep it coming. All right, coming right back, 251-343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. I'm gonna get to these two stories, a paired two stories together, a matched set, and Devin has them in her news together as well, but she probably doesn't have the same commentary I do. We'll get to that after a couple more texts here. Chris at Orange Beach said, let me read through this because it was a voice to text, but I think I translate this, and Chris, if I don't, then you can correct, but I think you wrote, hard to drive through some of the neighborhoods in Gulf Shores, 8 to 9 year old kids on scooters doing 3,540 miles an hour. They have no idea what they're doing. Some of them are barefooted. Some of them don't have helmets on. You ought to drive the big truck I drive, looking out for them. They need to have a blinking strobe. They need to have blinking strobe lights on them. Kana says, I have a buddy from high school who claims he got a DWI on a bicycle in Auburn in the mid 80s. Surely a scooter can too. Now, I wonder, Kana, when I read that, I wonder if it's not a legend or that really happened, because I have a story from a person that I graduated high school with. They went to Auburn. I went to Alabama. And the story coming back from Auburn was that he got a bicycling while intoxicated, a BUI or whatever we called it back then, in Auburn as well. But that would have been early 90s. So we went to school, started in 90. So I don't know, did that really happen, or is this one of those legends out there? And also kind of asked, didn't they get George Jones on a lawnmower? They sure did. Tim said, Sean, I'm just wondering if the city, since they're allowing these scooters, do they have any kind of liability if someone gets hurt or gets run over by one of these scooters? I don't know that, Tim. I guess Lime or whatever the company would have the liability. I don't know, but because they license them, are they? I do not have an answer on that one. Also, Tim asked, why should we be worried about Democrats in Alabama getting representatives whenever the states up on the East Coast don't give any Republicans any representatives? Yeah, well, it's the question, is it politics or is it race, right? We keep going round and round with this. I've said this before. I've heard it now elsewhere in media in the state, and I feel proud. Two things here. If there was a white Democrat in AL2, in AL7, do you believe the Republicans would still be trying to redistrict? I'm raising my hand and said yes, I believe they would. And if there was a black Republican in AL2 and AL7, would they try to redistrict to make them lose? No, they wouldn't. Right? That's politics. Problem is, so much of politics gets wrapped up in race out there. I really, like I've said forever, my hijab, burqa theory, you know, I wish everybody wore something like you couldn't see anything but their eyes, maybe not even their eyes. And they don't have a name, they have a number, and they talk about policy ideas, and you use the, that thing they do on 60 Minutes, you know, when they're trying to hide somebody's voice. So you just hear the voice going through like a, a filter so you can't tell anything about the man, woman you don't know. And then you get to decide on ideas. And then at the end, you have a big reveal like, oh, it's a, you know, black woman or a white guy or whatever. It's an Asian lady or whatever. To take all that crap out of the mix, just talk about ideas, please. All right, so. Okay, and Michael says, I'm sure you have to sign over liability for the scooter on the app. I know someone from Georgia who died by falling off one a few years ago. That stinks. Because I don't think helmets are required, right? But what Colin reported talking about what they did at the city council is that they're going to have to take a quiz, not just sign off like things, but it says, I don't have it in front of me, but it was essentially to engage the scooter. They will have to pass a quiz that will be about local regulations and safety regulations. I can picture somebody there going, maybe that keeps the drunks from getting the scooters because they're like, oh, those answer to this thing. And they can't get it started. But you have to take a quiz before it goes. Yeah, pretty interesting. We'll see. They vote on this next week. B-Dark, come on. Come on. Is this true? This is the stuff. B-Dark sent me this. This is the stuff like I hear from my kinfolk. B-Dark said, Sean, my uncle Fletcher got a DWI in Walker County on a horse 30 years ago. I heard the same. Maybe it really did happen in your case, but I heard the same thing. That was like a legend up where my mom's people come from, that somebody, some family member, Uncle Hiram or something like that. And I mean, that's the kind of people I come from. We had Hirams, people named, you know, pick a obscure Bible name and I've got a kinfolk name for him. That he got one on a horse too. I didn't believe it. I'm going to have to see some documentation. All right, so the pair of stories I thought were interesting and juxtapositions interesting as well. The two from WKRG, and Devin has them in her newscast. I'll orient them this way. First story. After days of heavy downpours, the Mobile Area Water and Sewer System said wastewater overflows have been reported in Mobile. I don't like it whenever it happens. But at least in this case, we have heavier than regular rainfall. These things also happen when we get like an inch. But said, according to the mall's news release, evidence of a sanitary sewer overflow near the intersection of McVeigh Drive and Navco Road was a result of heavy rainfall. The overflow was not active at the time the evidence was discovered. Ooh, the evidence. But there's reason to believe wastewater overflowed into Slava Creek. Okay. And that goes through sewer overflows can happen for a variety of reasons, but occur when untreated or partially treated sewer leaves a sanitary sewer system before reaching a wastewater treatment plant. And they went on to say in the press release, sewage can contain bacteria, viruses, and parasites. I'm not going to go through all the stuff. It's not good. And it says residents should avoid coming in contact with affected water, soil, or any obvious sewage. I can't even with this. Obvious sewage. It says children, pets should be kept clear of ditches, creeks, flooded areas, standing water. Could be contaminated. No one should swim, wade, or fish in posted areas or in water that looks or smells contaminated. Okay, so that's the one story. Second story, right after it, comes up. Alabama waters reopened for shrimping. Now, you understand that the waters all connect, right? If you're new around here, the waters connect. You might say, well, Slava Creek, that's to Dog River, to Mobile Bay. It says, in some areas of Alabama waters will reopen for shrimping next month, which, by the way, is Monday. According to an ADMR news release, all inside waters in Alabama are not permanently closed, but will be reopening for shrimping June 1st. Those waters include Mobile Bay, Bonsecour Bay, Mississippi Sound, Perdita Bay, Arctica Bay, Wolf Bay, and Little Lagoon. So two stories, right? It just struck me. The first one is involving obvious sewage and staying out of the ditches, staying out of the water. The next story is, by the way, let's get to shrimping. Well, this is good. Okay, here we go. Haywood says, what I learned in business law, circa 1987, one can get a DUI while operating a horse and buggy, riding lawnmower if on a public road. Also, if they want to sleep it off, keys on the dash and body in the back seat. Heard that, too, from a family member who was a plaintiff's attorney. I said, the keys have to be nowhere near you. You have to be elsewhere. Tim says, Sean, I don't know if you ever noticed this, but they always have a manhole down by the creek. So when it overflows, it can run into the creek. It's almost like they planned it. I've never thought about that, but you do have those manholes. They're not all of them by the creek, but I definitely have seen them by the creek. Fire Dog said, we were so poor growing up. The neighbor's septic tank was our pool. Come on, was our pool. So what are you saying? That's wrong? I would just refer you, Fire Dog, to the press release from Moz that said, can I read this again? I mean, it's past lunchtime. Residents should avoid coming in contact with affected water, soil, and any obvious sewage. Obvious sewage. So Fire Dog, it may explain some. It may explain some things about you, just say. All right. B-Dark adds to this narrative. After that, he went and laid down on the train track. And when the train came, he sat up and they couldn't stop. This is a Southern Gothic novel you're rolling out here, B-Dark. I'm intrigued. 251-343-0106. Coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
One 150 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. I like how the unexpected things happen on the show. It's turned into a discussion of people getting DUIs on horseback and on bicycles and all these things. Yeah, so Norman Westmobile said Jet Turner in Chatham got a DUI on horseback in the late 70s. So this is a thing, because I always thought the way the story was with my relatives, it just sounded like a family legend. Yeah, they found somebody who was already dead, so you couldn't go, I don't know. Because supposedly I've got one of those in my family. And said also, manholes are located near creeks because of gravity. That makes sense. The creeks and streams are always at the low point in elevation. Remember, it always runs downstream. Now you know the rest of the story except for the dam. That's for sure. Speaking of which, I didn't get to it today, but maybe we'll do that later on. I've just heard the local, hearing the national host talk about the situation in Big Creek Lake. It's like, y'all are missing the bigger part, you know? They're reporting the story about it, but it's you're like, yeah, but you're not. I don't know. It's just hearing these national folks talk about it, I'm like, yeah, you're missing out a little bit. All right. Let's see. Bucky Beaver says we should all stay away from brown shrimp until the water gets cleaned up. Your thoughts? Yeah. I mean, it's just interesting. The two stories are, hey, we got all the sewer running out. And by the way, if shrimp season opens. Let's see, Jerry, Fort Morgan, and we have state agencies giving them the only clean water in the county. Yeah, can you imagine if we're drawing water from not Big Creek Lake? That'd be a yikes. Oh, and speaking of water and all that stuff, so TV news cannot help themselves when it's time to do a let's be scared of animals story. You know, it's like the usually shark stuff or whatever. Now here we go. It's a headline here. As waters rise, wildlife moves. A bear seen near Highway 43. Hey, people, my Saraland people, my Axis, Criolla, Metroplex people, my Mount Vernon, my Salco Road people. Any of y'all, like, it's a bear seen near Highway 43. Yeah, we call that days that end in Y. says, wildlife experts say days of heavy rain across the region can push animals out of their usual habitats and into places people are more likely to see them, across roads, through yards, and even into neighborhoods. the bears are going into neighborhoods when there's not rain, and then they do it when it rains. They do it. Oh, well. So whenever rivers rise and low-lying areas flood, animals may be forced out of their normal resting and feeding areas in search of higher ground. I'll say this. The bears don't check up because of water. Black bears can swim just fine. It says in South Alabama, bear sightings has also been increasing as population grows. Well, yes, but you also see them this time of year because the young male bears go out and trying to find new habitats. In other words, some chicks. Like this. Why am I doing this to myself? Why do I get frustrated? Why do I let myself do this? In the Saraland area, experts estimate around 200 black bears now live nearby. Now, in Southwest Alabama, that's been the number. There's not 200 bears in Saraland. I mean, it may seem like it sometimes, but they're not 200 bears in Saraland. Just please stick to apartment fires, car wrecks, questioning about body cams. Stay out. Just please quit doing this to us. Also, it says in Mississippi. So this is in Mississippi, though. This is that was us here in Alabama. But then in parts of Mississippi, experts say the same pattern can lead to more encounters with wildlife. So this is Mississippi wildlife because they're different, such as alligators and black bears. It says for alligators, there's another seasonal factor, peak mating season. Got that right. Male gators often move between ponds, creeks, and rivers looking for females, sometimes bringing them closer to people. You know, when people, you live by the water. You know, I mean, gator I have at the farm, he moves back from pond to pond and then will disappear, go wherever the chicks are, I guess, and sometimes shows back up. But this is a, I just, please quit doing these stories. It's a, 200 bears live within Saraland. I'm going to call bear scat on that one. There are plenty of bears in Southwest, well, not as many as we could have, but there are plenty of bears in Southwest Alabama. They're not 200 in Saraland. All right, Tim says, Sean, the deal with Big Creek Lake, it's all about control, more so than anything else. And one of your problems that they're not talking about is they're heavily relying on that lake for water instead of having other options because they're pumping water over the eastern shore across the causeway. So they got a bunch of people using that for a water source. You're right, Tim. I think about that too. The Maas water going to multiple places, making it an eastward migration. B-Dark said the cottonmouths are coming up. And cottonmouths are doing, yeah, I mean, they're. But I mean, they get out in the yard too, be dark, you know, even when it's not raining. I mean, Now, if you got catfish in the yard, like the people who had the videos up on Facebook, I think that's cool. Catching the catfish in the yard. It's just, it's just the idea that, first of all, the big pearl clutching headline is a bear was seen near Highway 43. Yeah, that's a thing that happens. I mean, it's worth like telling your friends, like, hey, I saw a bear today. Okay, cool. I don't know if it makes headline. And then saying that the water would be an issue for the bears. Now they're not going to lay down and go to sleep in the water, but the black bear in Alabama has no issue crossing water. I mean, it's not a big thing. Why do I let myself get frustrated? I do, and I shouldn't, but also heads up. So what I was talking about earlier, the lady with just the one hand who got pulled over, and we talked about the video. So you don't have to. So Leanna helped us out because I know a lot of y'all, most people are, I guess, are on Facebook, but they're not on X or Twitter. See, I put it up on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5 on Twitter or X. Leanna put it up on the Facebook page. So now you can go watch the full video and give us your commentary there. And then we'll close out with this as a leading indicator out there. You know how the economists will watch, like, how many washing machines sell or don't sell? It's home goods, these things as an indicator of the economy. Saw this one that got my attention. Bourbon may be in trouble. This from the Lexington Herald Leader. It says, as spirits industry continues to reel from declining drinking, whiskey production has dropped to its lowest level in years. New monthly data released by the Treasury Department shows that through August, whiskey distillers had produced just under 142 million proof gallons, 55 million proof gallons less than the same period last year. Level remains 28% lower than it was just last year in April. It's the lowest 8-month total since back in 2018. So I don't know what that means if you're looking for economic indicators. The heck if people are buying washing machines, they're not buying bourbon. And with that, I'll send you off to Paul Feinbaum, and we'll do it again tomorrow.